is information on trapping for land use, planning and land disposals. Representative Hurlbert is the prime sponsor, and we have a member of his staff here to testify on this today, I think. You wanna come forward and explain this one to us, please? State your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Jim Farmer. I'm assistant to Representative Hurlbert. The reason that prompted this resolution was due to some of the land disposal policies of the state of not considering the current full range of uses that are being made of the land prior to their drawing lines for possible disposals. There's been quite a bit of upset in village areas where people find an area they consider a core breeding area for either fur bearing or their food animals is going to be disposed of, and the intrusion by settlers, if you would, could cause the animals to quit breeding in that area and affect a large number of people in the way they traditionally make their living. In this resolution, all we ask is that the Department of Natural Resources, Fish and Game, and so on, consider the trapping area, and they're fairly well aware of where most of it occurs before they start drawing the lines to dispose of land. We further feel that the trapping should be considered one of the highest beneficial uses of the land, because it has been done for many, many years, and it was one of the big economic reasons, I believe, that the U.S. considered buying Alaska from Russia. At that time, the real gold in Alaska was fur, and it has been since then, at least as long as far as history points out. So based on these factors, we were just requesting that the departments use this land, and there is a couple of agencies that we're aware of, and they're named here as representative of what of where the information is available for DNR or Fish and Game to use as a resource, helping to collect this information so that it doesn't require a major study effort by the department, either one, to document this use. These agencies will provide the information for them on request. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Farmer?
Mr. Chairman,
Okay.
The only question I have, right, how much state land is involved in here? Would you have any idea of what we're talking about? How much land?
No, I don't. Not overall. I do know that one small area and a much larger area seems to be the core breeding areas, and as long as you leave that alone, the rest of it, the stocks will maintain. But they must have that one smaller place to continue breeding.
Mr. Chairman, actually, normally I did some trapping, and I think what Representative Herbert had in mind, the way I'm trying to see this, is those areas beyond the Alaska Range out there, the biggest areas that are involved with any fur-bearing animals, any density, would be the low-lying areas, which are not good for anything, so to speak, anyway. Yeah, am I about right in that respect? You're from that district, aren't you?
Yes. I lived there, and we just had two major disposal suggestions by DNR that would have taken out the last two core trapping areas we have in the Galena-Kai-Cook area. The disposals where they were, where the lines were drawn, would have disrupted that total. And the people there did suggest alternative places that had community support, local support for disposal, so they're not adverse to disposals per se.
Chairman, the only comment I'd have, I'm mean, my thinking on it is that if we come up with the land as opposed to proven, when we come up with the land disposal program here, would how would we look at this? Is it a special interest group or what involved it? I think this is one thing that I don't mean to make a big mountain out of a mole here up there, but my first question was how much state land is involved in these, you mentioned core breeding areas for fur animals. How much would it affect, because a lot of the areas are beyond the Alaska Ranges that are native lands anyway. They're already allocated to the native corporation. So what lands that the come over to the state of Alaska would be open enough for homesteading and home sites and so forth in the future here, it would deprive these individuals of taking over and home site, because they'll have preference in there for trapping in there, which would be infringing on these particular land disposal sites. These are just questions I like to throw on the table and discuss them around a little bit here, because I know the housing area we're looking at, how much land involved. I haven't talked about that or heard of it, so you can have that. These questions would be in my mind. It might be a lot, millions of acres here that we're would be tying up something like this.
Mr. Farmer, am I correct in assuming that Representative Hurlburt's intent here is that when a disposal or disposals in an area, an outlying area, are being considered, that one of the things they take into consideration is the whether or not there's trapping in the area.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Not only outlying areas, but even adjacent Fairbanks, there's a number of people from areas adjacent Fairbanks and Anchorage that trap and make a considerable amount of their living that way. And they must be considered. They do not, it is not required that they be number one. But
they're just looking for consideration. Representative Schultz?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I've spoke with Vern a little bit on this, and I agree with you. In a lot of the land disposals, and there's, I get back to the Toke area, there's been a bunch of land disposals in that area in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and little, if any, input has gone in to those things, although they say they have conducted hearings and so on and so forth. We've heard comments on the floor of the House today pertaining to how some of that input goes, local input. I could see very little where the advisory boards of the Fish and Game or the Trappers Associations and things of that nature had very little input into helping determine if there was an established hunting area, trapping area, resource area of some kind. And all it is a request that, you know, that these people have a chance at least to be heard, that the local community, wherever the land disposal is going to be, take place, that they have some input into that, and maybe they could, through the process, maybe select land elsewhere in the same increments of land and everything else that would be just as accessible as other land without destroying some of the trapping land. You know, and I think it's a reasonable request. I don't know to what value it would be, and I don't know what it would be adhered to, but it's something that I think is somewhat necessary, because we've got to do something about at least providing the people in a locale a little bit of something to say about what land, or at least recommending as to what land that they would like to see disposed of, if some land is going to be disposed of.
Further questions of Mr. Farmer? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else to testify on this? Mark, were you going to testify on this one or the pleasure of the committee on this. Commissioner Schultz?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move House concur resolution number 27 and ask for individual recommendations.
Any objections? Hearing none. Move out HCR 27. The second piece of legislation we have today is House Bill 86, an act relating to the use of teleconferencing facilities and drawings from state lands. Representative Bettisworth is a prime sponsor on this, and he's unable to make the meeting due to his commitments on the Finance Committee. Basically, the intent of HB 86 is at this point, in order to state land lottery, in order to win a lottery, a person has to be present in the room where the drawing is being held. Representative Bettisworth's bill will allow for teleconferencing to account for attendance. Mark, were you going to testify on this one for the department?
Yes, sir.
Come on up forward and let us know what the department thinks.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Mark Widow, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. I'm familiar with Representative Bettisworth's bill, and I guess it's permissible. I'd like to make a couple of general comments about the problem he's trying to address. Currently in the statutes, there are two requirements pertaining to land disposal lotteries. One, that the lottery be held in a municipality or community closest to the disposal. And second, that a person personally attend a lottery if there to be a successful applicant to a parcel. That provision was enacted by the legislature, I think, to give area residents kind of an extra leg up in disposals, to be able to dispose out on Baranoff Island, be hold it in Sitka, and somebody that is interested would have to fly to Sitka to be present at the lottery, giving Sitka residents somewhat of an advantage, for example. The same would be true for Glen Allen or Tok, wherever. However, that's probably one of the single most criticized aspects of the land disposal program in terms of the correspondence that comes into us, and I think to a lot of legislators. And people in one part of the state are interested in land or another part of the state and don't like the expense of having to fly all over without knowing if they're going to be successful applicants. Representative Bettisworth's solution, I think, is sort of an expensive one in that it leaves the requirement that we hold it in the community and leaves the requirement that the person be present, and instead asks us to more or less send out a DNR staff person to each of the 20 or so teleconference locations. If the committee is interested in having people not have to fly all over the state, you could simply repeal the requirement that requires the disposal to be held in the community closest and repeal the requirement for personal attendance. It would be much cheaper and easier for us to simply hold one lottery in Anchorage where we drew the applications and let people know by mail, and nobody would have to be there, or the ranges that you can go in between. But this just doesn't seem to be the most efficient way to get it done, I guess, is our comment. It's fairly expensive.
Mr. Earl, let me try and get you to touch on a couple of alternatives here. Right now, we are requiring that disposal be held in the closest municipality,
right,
and people be present. Okay, to just change the teleconferencing system so that they don't have to be present is maybe only taking half a step then.
Right, well, my question would be, if they don't have to be present, why do you want six people from the department to fly to travel to 20 different communities in the
right.
state?
That's kind of what I was looking at. Can you address what our option would be there?
You could simply repeal the requirement that we hold the lottery in the community closest to the state, and I guess leave it to our discretion as to where to hold it. We would, I think, for now and most probably hold it in Anchorage because that's where all the staff of the department is. And
yep.
You can make provisions for letting people know. I think we could administratively set up a period where we selected an applicant. They'd have 30 days to get us their deposit, and if they don't do that, then it goes to the next. We select another person for that partial or whatever.
Would you be able to put together a realistic program, a functioning program, so that the lottery is drawn in one place and certified letters were notified?
I think it would be actually be much easier. We'd have a little more paperwork to do at one time, but it really is a big roadshow for us to go around to. We probably hit, about eight different places every 6 months.
It must be an expensive roadshow.
Yes, it is.
The one offside on this is that it doesn't put a priority to the local areas.
That's right.
Is there another way we can address that?
I don't, in a straight lottery, I'm not an attorney, but I'm not certain how you could give a preference to somebody within a geographic area, but it's possible that you could do that. I guess if you want, we can consult with the AG's office and try and see if it's possible. I don't know if anybody else in the committee has had experience in trying to design local preference legislation. I don't think some local municipalities have had land disposals, and I think they've had problems. That may be worth looking into as an
alternative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much do you figure we could save by going this system of teleconference, none other than the other? Just roughly.
Well, I don't think you'd save anything by going to teleconferencing if you were requiring DNR to fly around the different parts of the state and actually be there. But if you were, say, just to have the lottery at one place and then maybe put the results on the teleconference, I think you'd probably save an amount probably comparable to the fiscal note for this bill from our current expenditures of something like $40,000 a year. And also, I think you'd increase the participation in the land disposal program. By not making people travel to isolated locations. On the other hand, you take away that local preference. That's the drawback.
Representative Larson?
I was basically going to say, Mr. Chairman, before we can take any real action on this House bill here, I think we have to go back and look at the philosophy and the requiring that when any land sale is supposed to take place, individuals who are there physically present in order to take part. I remember back during the years there was much argument in favor of requiring individuals to actually be there. I know there is some concern that they say that if it eliminates some individuals from being able to take part. But if I'm not mistaken, there are exceptions also which may be person is physically unable to for some reason or another. There are regulations that govern, if I remember correctly.
There are three exceptions in the statute. I think they're school, military, and I'm not sure medical reasons is one.
I think that was a third one.
Medical reasons attending school or military service outside the state. Those are the only three.
So I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is that before we determine change this philosophy that maybe we should look more closely at the original intent also.
Representative Bussell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. when these original philosophies were developed, we were a state that didn't have state offices, state paid personnel in dozens and dozens of areas across the state. When the state opens up a teleconferencing office someplace right now, that's generally staffed with a paid for state person that acts on behalf of the state. That changes this entire picture around here. With all due respect to the representative Palmer, the whole idea of this is of putting this stuff in here is to conduct business in the state without causing the state citizens to have to move around the state. I just recently tried to talk to the after I guess several hours on the telephone trying to figure out to get somebody to talk to me about it. I tried to get the Department of Transportation, who handles most of the bidding in the state, to stop requiring people from Fairbanks, for instance, to come to Juneau to bid a road job that's located in Delta. It was a hell of a lot easier for somebody to get on an airplane from Seattle to come to Juneau and bid the job in Delta than it is the poor guy from Fairbanks. He's got to go through a bunch of hell plus a lot of money just to show up in Juneau. Generally, he's got to come 2 or 3 days just to do that. I was pushing for this very thing. If we are in fact going to have these district offices, maybe instead of having it in every teleconference office, it could be in the three major district offices, or Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. You may want to limit to where you've got a commissioner. But for this land disposal thing, the commissioner has a deputy commissioner that's in each of those three major cities permanently.
DOT does, DNR does have three district offices. The deputy commissioners are in Juneau and Anchorage, but we have a district office that's fully staffed in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau.
They just don't give us people in Fairbanks deputy commissioners.
Well, you do, don't you? You have a deputy commissioner in Fairbanks?
No, DOT does.
Yeah, but you have somebody there that transacts business in the state of Alaska.
Yeah, it would be no problem to do whatever.
You might want to draw a line and say that you don't put it in a teleconference office. I don't know how many, we've got 30 or 40 of them throughout the state. Or maybe you do, I don't know. Maybe worth considering. But there certainly is a person that's deputized to do the business, and he's linked electronically with wherever you decided to run the lottery from. There's nothing to prevent you from running the lottery from Fairbanks, or running it from Juneau, or running it from anywhere.
Senator Schultz?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, if I may, only as I, of course, I, for quite some time, I've been opposed to this particular piece of legislation. I support what Representative Bussell was talking about on the making the people fly to Juneau to bid on a contract in Fairbanks or something like that. That's one thing. We're talking about land disposal, and we're talking about most of the land disposal that does come up through lotteries and things people use for recreation, land, this type of thing. The farther away they are, the more inclined they'll use the land for recreation. Where the people in the local area, when they put in for that lottery, they're going to go out and build something on it and live on it. If we're going to have teleconferencing, as far as I'm concerned, it has to be in every single solitary community in the state of Alaska, period, because there's no reason for me, if I lived at McCarthy, to have to fly to Anchorage to get in on a land disposal in McCarthy. For example, if that's where it was going to be held.
A McCarthy land disposal that's coming up is going to be held in Glen Allen, which is it.
Right, that's the closest, okay. But there would be no reason, let's just say that in Glen Allen they don't have teleconferencing capabilities. They got a phone jack there. They don't have, so that would mean that the people in McCarthy and in Glen Allen, in that area, that in Kenny Lake, that wanted land, would have to, it was set up in the way that we're talking about, we either have to get Juneau, Anchorage, or Fairbanks to get land in their area. So it wouldn't, why should those people have to travel to Anchorage to get land in their area? You know, it's my feeling that if I want land in Ketchikan and they're having land down there, if that's where I want, then I'll go there. If Anchorage is having something, I will go there. If Fairbanks is having something, I will go there. You know, if Tope is having something and that's where I live, I would expect the people to come to Tope. If they're interested in it, they'll be there for the lottery. And I think that rather than change the law, I would rather see it left the way it is. And if it's going to go to teleconferencing, then the teleconferencing sites are set up in every single solitary community in the entire state. And that would be relatively expensive.
I think from what you've said, you would want to just leave the law alone.
Right, exactly.
Mark, if at this point, other than because of the way the statute reads, what is, from your position, what is or what are the values or the reasons for requiring people to be present, whether we do it by in person or by teleconference?
Well, the reason, I guess, the two requirements go together, the personal attendance and the having the closest community, and the reason is to give people in the local area some, you're not really giving them a preference, you're just making it a little easier for them to be there. I guess it's sort of some sort of deference to the local community, that's the value in it, and that was why that was the reason behind the legislature originally adopting that.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That kind of a statement is a little like the glass of milk that's half full and it's also half empty. If you give the local guy a little bit of preference because he lives next to the bid, you also take away the right of the guy that lives someplace else because he's there. If the land is available to all the people of the state, you either ought to condition the land lottery sets to protect it by saying that it's got to be inhabited, or to condition the lottery, the distribution, to where you protect the use of the land, or else don't offer it to the state. Give it to the local municipality and let them do it then. As long as you're going to make it available to all Alaska citizens, you should make it available to the teleconferencing network or whatever it is.
My only intent with my comments a little while ago, Mr. Chairman, is that there were some good arguments in the past for making the law in the way that it's now, and for when it changes, we should at least look at those arguments and revise the law as necessary, but yet at the same time, take into consideration also the reasons why it is as it is today, why it hasn't been working, and what we can change to make it better.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with Representative Bussell on that last statement, because before I would ever agree to go to a concept like this, I would rather vote to do completely away with the land lottery. You know, under the present system that it's being disposed of, and there's no use, no. I would rather do away.
Representative Bussell.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I tend to think in the terms of maybe Mr. Representative Larson mentioned, that's the way the law has been in the past, and apparently the system as up to now may not be needing any oil on the wheel, but maybe we ought to put some oil on the wheel. Apparently it's not working right. What would be a lot wrong with, we have teleconference center all over this state, and have the individuals file. Let me ask Mark, how many office do we with DNR? What title are you on, DNR? What title do you hold over there?
State official assistant to the official.
What would be wrong with this? And the individuals, for example, in the Delta, the Fairbanks area, Glen Allen area, Copper Center, Bowdy, what have you. When these lotteries come up, they can go to the DNR office there in that particular area, filing for a lottery. And when there's call, what requires them to be there to draw it? I don't understand this.
Statute.
Am I losing out on
statute
this?
Statute does now.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm. You do. Oh. You can just mail in the applications. You don't have to physically hand in your applications. You only have to be present when they're called.
Well, I think the whole statute's wrong, then. You ought to change it so that the people not required to be there to draw it. Because after all, who makes the drawings anyway? Who makes the drawings? When they're drawn for lottery. Why does a person have to be there? Can you give me a reasonable answer why they have to be there physically for the drawing?
It's a requirement. It's in the statute. And that's what it was put in there for the reason.
Well, I'd like to know what the reasoning was behind that, because you must have trusted people to make the drawing, so why would an individual have to be there when his name is drawn if he happens to be a lucky winner?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. When the bill was originally written, the primary purpose was exactly what I was talking about. The feeling was that the people that attended the lottery in a given area more than likely would be people of that area. For example, if they were disposing of land in Anchorage, more than likely the people from Anchorage would turn out en masse to that. Okay. Same thing if the land was disposed of around Fairbanks. There would be very few people from Anchorage, there would be very few people from Gardner Creek or whatever, Chicken, you know, coming into the thing. That was the purpose of it, to try to have the people there physically to get more people in a locale, land that already, you know, are there or want to be there. And that was the purpose behind it. And it's been effective along those lines, but there have been a lot of hundreds of people that have traveled to wherever, and as they've gone through the names and started drawing names out, you know, they've got land that were from lots of other places. And I think that it must figure out to be about, what, close to 30%, I would say, of most of the land that's disposed of in a locale goes to the local people, 20 to 30% in that vicinity.
Yeah, I would say it's much higher than that.
Pardon?
I don't think it's much higher than that.
Right. So it was to protect the local people that lived around there, and trying to help assure them that they're going to get some land. The only other thing that I can see, that if you do go to some kind of a teleconferencing, that in fact, if you're going to dispose of 100 lots of land, let's just say by a lottery, that you take 30% of that land and set it aside, and it's available exclusively to the people that live in that area for lottery. And the drawing would take place. At least you're reserving, you know, some land for the local people, because it conceivably could happen, and it happened in some of the toke sales, where some of that land now has gone back to the people because they have turned around and bought it from people from Anchorage and things of this nature. But that land, some of the first disposal of things, ended up going primarily, you know, primarily to people from outside the area, and they never have come in, and probably never will come in and build on it. You know, it has done nothing for the economy, for those locales.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Representative Schultz runs a pretty tough bargain there. But really, when you get right down to it, why do we run this special interest group here for land rather lottery or not? I mean, if you want to look at it that way, just because a person lives in Anchorage or Valdez, if he wants to put in an application for a lottery at a Chicken or someplace, he should have that prerogative. But really, you know, I guess you, like, I already mentioned here, you go, you got a half a glass of milk or or one half full, if they can fill them.
One of the complaints that's been coming with this program is that people from other areas of the state, say someone from Fairbanks wants to try and get a piece of land and disposal here in Southeastern, they can spend the time and the money to fly down here just to find out that their name didn't come out of the hat, which is an expensive way of going.
Yeah. There's absolutely, you know, I concede that there are some things as far as we're talking about in getting land, but the point is, if you live in Ketchikan and you want a piece of land in Tok, more than likely, if you put in for a 5-acre home site and you live in Ketchikan, you're not planning on spending much time in Tok, I guarantee, and it does nothing. You're just disposing of land to dispose of land, and it would be better off to just completely abolish the thing rather than do that. We're trying to develop rural Alaska and get people to live there and to do something for the economy and create jobs, and just to dispose of land for recreation sites for a bunch of people that live in the metropolitan area is not the way to go.
Mark, can you do some work and work a little bit in trying to come up with a possible solution for addressing some of this and also addressing being able to maintain some local...
Are you talking about trying to see if we can develop, say, reserving, like we used to reserve a certain percentage for home sites, reserving a certain percentage for local residents?
Something in that area.
I wasn't present for a lot of the consideration of this original proposal. I would assume that that was considered and rejected, but I'll be glad to try and see what's possible. I think maybe it seemed like a good idea back then.
We'll try and work with you here in the next couple of days and see if something that we can do in that area, and see if we can try to accommodate some of the concerns on the legislation. Do you have any other comments on this point, Mark? Any other questions of Mark? Joe Larson?
Just a general comment, not directly in relation to this bill, but someone brought it up that I thought was very good idea that I've been talking about for a long time, that if somehow we can coordinate land disposal programs with the state and the local municipalities, I think it would tremendously aid both.
I agree. I'm proud to say that at the top of our capital budget is assistance to municipalities for their land disposal program.
Another thing, going along with what Representative Bussell was talking about, I wouldn't mind seeing him coming out with something on land usage for the lottery. You know, that they're not just getting 5 acres of land or 10 acres of land or whatever just to have 10 acres of land someplace. And if their name's drawn, they're the sort of big winner. I would like to see some kind of a land use type thing, something.
Required construction of a dwelling or whatever.
I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I think that comment does fly in the face of the original intent of the land lottery program. The land lottery program was set up to divest the state of ownership of land and to get it into the hands of private people. For whatever reason they chose to have it, whether it was to hold and have forever and will to their kids, or to go out and look at once a year, or to build a home on it, or do whatever they wanted to with it. That was the whole idea. The state can own it forever and sit there and look at it, and that's the way it's going to be. But the idea was to dispose of the land, divest the state ownership. That's simply what it was for.
Okay, then along those lines, then I could agree with that. concept. However, then let's just take a community of Token and anticipate its growth, and let's just say that it's going to grow to the magnitude of Anchorage within the next 100 years. Let's reserve that land within that radius around Toke for the local people and for local growth. Let's dispose of land in the remote areas of Alaska where you have to fly in and this kind of thing for this very kind of thing and open it up to the entire state and teleconferencing and things of that nature. But reserve the growth, because what's going to happen, you're going to end up with communities just like you have now that were almost completely surrounded in Tok by landholders that are never, ever going to move there, never going to live there. And so as the town grows, what's going to happen? It's going to go around these things, around and around and around. You know? I don't see too many vacant lots in Anchorage along Fifth Avenue when I'm driving in. But that's what you're going to see as these communities start growing, if there's ever a need for them to grow. But, you know, something's got to be done to preserve the local people in getting the land. And if we don't, you can imagine a community of, let's just say, 50 people, okay, and a population of 450,000 people, they don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of drawing, getting their name drawn for a piece of land. I mean, the odds are just astronomical. Yet that's right where they live. That's where they live. If they hadn't, they would develop it.
Any counter?
Just on his comments, but if the interest is in chicken, I'm sure the people in chicken is going to be the heavy people that show the interest, and not too many from Anchorage. Because I think that the high percentage of people that want the land would be from the area.
Classic example. I've received 2 telephone calls since I've been here, and within the last 3 weeks, from people living right here in Juneau that own land in Tok, called me on the telephone and said, "Hey, we own land in Tok. Never been there, and would like to know. We're going to go out and cut some trees down. We're going to do this and that. You know, and I'm going to be of no assistance to them at all. You know." Because it burns my rear end that people that you know, maybe passed through there once in their life have been able to get. Okay, you're going to go back and say that how they got it, you know, I don't know, but they ended up with it. Maybe they went through there or went up there passed through there when they were having a lottery and had their name in it. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, that's what America's all about. I think you're missing the point there. I still own some land in Minnesota. I haven't seen it for 25 years. I may never see it the rest of my life. I had some more land down the road in Minnesota that somebody that lives there wanted from me a couple of years ago, wanted it bad enough to buy it from me. That neighbor that lives in Topo wants that land bad enough to expand on it. It would become some worth. Then the very reason probably for that guy holding on to that land and live. We may well get around to a position here in just a short amount of time where the state may be looking to derive some taxes pretty soon. One of the things you gain is by turning it over to private ownership, you gain a tax base. Right now we're not after that. But we may damn soon well be after it. And when we start taxing that guy in Juneau for that land, he'll think twice about it. Hold on to it, and he'll be wanting to sell it to the guy down the road. We do have a unique situation here in the state, Mr. Chairman, when it comes to land ownership. In most states, those of you that own land in other states know that you have tax liability that continues. If it's fair land, you do try to get somebody to buy it or move it or whatever you've got to do. And I frankly don't see anything wrong with the bill the way it is.
If we were, okay, I could go, even, even with that, you know, I own some land outside also. If we're going to go that route, then let's go to teleconferencing and let's do it public outcry auction over teleconferencing. And let's, because the local people will be willing to pay more for the land than someone living in Ketchikan. I can go for that.
That's possible, actually, without... We have a choice of lottery and auction, and we very rarely do auctions, and there's a different group that criticizes us for doing auctions because the prices go up.
How much of the land size-wise is disposed of by lottery?
Almost all the residential land is disposed of by lottery. All the any commercial sales we do are auction. We occasionally do a few auction, but the balance is lottery.
Not lottery?
Yes. Getting back to what your statement there earlier of ownership of where it should be, I think I own some land that I homesteaded up in your area. I haven't seen it.
If I may, to follow up on that in talking about the auctioning of land, again, if you get ready to auction land in Anchorage, auction it in Anchorage. And if I want to go to that auction, come in and pay the price, I will. They want to have an auction in tote, and that's where they're disposing of the land. The people can be expected to drive the tote, and they stand just as much a chance of buying the land as anyone else. They bid the price. You know, if I want land in Kotzebue, and they're giving away land, I'll fly to Cottonwood. If I'm willing to pay the price, I'll buy it. Yeah. And that's a fair and equitable way. And that way, but I don't think that he should be held in just in the metropolitan areas, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, for example, as the auction places for land around the state.
I think under the law now, we would have to, even if it was under an auction, we'd have to.
I believe you do, because we've had several auctions too.
There would be no reason why you can't have an auction with telecoms.
Could use it with this bill, Mr. Chairman, but this only pertains to lottery.
Well, the lottery, under the lottery,
you'd have to change it.
They could auction at a fixed price.
By lottery? Fair market value is closest.
How many?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These things were taken into account when the law was written, and for some of the very reasons that I have expressed here today, is to try to do something to preserve local people the opportunity to purchase some of the land, you know, not all of it, of course, but at least a small portion of it, and it don't make any difference to me how it's done. I could go for this piece of legislation if there was something on the books that 20 or 30% of that land is set aside exclusively for lottery, if that's the way it's going to be disposed of, for lottery for the people that live in that location.
Have this legislation moved out next week. Why don't I propose this? We will try and work on some solutions and see if we can address it in different ways and see what we can come up with for a proposal, bring back for the committee, and we can amend it or leave it the way it is or make a decision at that point. Before we adjourn, just for the record, I was informed that our tape wasn't on at the beginning, so for the record, today's April 15th, and we have Representative Schultz, Representative Larson, Representative Bussell, Representative Liska, Representative Calvary, and Representative Ringstad. There's no one else bringing anything before us today at this point. So, in the meeting.